everybody, welcome to Reading Your Way to Heaven. Gabe, how are you?
How's it going, man? Oh my gosh, dude. Did you read this chapter this week?
Whoa, dude alert, first of all.
Did you read the chapter? Did you read Out of the Silent Planet this week?
I did. And a really short
good,
chapter again.
This would be an odd podcast if you didn't at least read it.
I'm like, no, Gabe, tell me all about it because I haven't read this chapter. No, I was really excited to read this. I was ready to sit down and I was like, all right, I really want to get into it. And then I looked to see how many pages it was. And I was like, wait, is this shorter than the last chapter? Because this is really short.
But I think there's some big stuff in there, you know, which I mean, it goes without saying we're about to talk about the next chapter in Out of the Silent Planet. But you already know that, listener, because, you know, it's in the title. And believe it or not, this is the most popular podcast that we do. So, hey, everybody, how's it going?
Favorite book of the podcast. I hope this is everybody's favorite podcast. It should be. It should be the first one that you listen to every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But this is definitely
right.
The favorite book series as of right now.
Thanks for the clarification, Jason.
Anytime, Gabe.
Ever ready, just like the bunny. Wait, that's...
What?
Right, that's right, right? The Energizer Bunny?
Sure.
The ever ready Energizer Bunny?
All right, well, instead of you just keep going and going with this, let's go into the chapter. So we're with Ransom here. His legs fail him. He is just inconsolable.
He's with a naked Weston.
You keep harping on this.
Well, because it's so weird, but then it's addressed or undressed.
Oh, okay. So.
And all is explained.
Yes. So he, I love where Ransom is, you know, like where are we? And there's just Winston's so literal where he's like, well, standing outside the earth about 85,000 miles. I'm like, how precise you are.
If anything, is so put out with having to answer anything that Ransom has for him. Do you mean that? Certainly. Then we're standing out from Earth about 85,000 miles, you know, like, dude, why are you dumb? You know?
Well, and
he's
yeah,
got no patience for this.
That's
know?
The theme of this whole chapter is as Weston goes on, he's perturbed. He's just like, oh God, I'm going to play the 20 question games here with you. And I might as well just go ahead and bring you to the person, because either A, there's questions I can't answer because A, I don't either just don't know them, or B, I'm not the guy who should be really telling you all this. So come on.
Or I just don't want to.
Yeah.
You know,
what
like would... Weston definitely has a superiority complex going on here.
Oh, for
you know?
Sure.
He's holding all the cards and can't understand why Ransom doesn't just accept that. You know?
My favorite, there's one or two like C.S. Lewis, you know, purposely putting in these words that are just funny to me. So, you know, early on in the chapter, Ransom says the question, and what on earth have you kidnapped me for? And how have you done it? Just that, and what on earth, when technically they're not. On
They're
Earth
not on
right now.
Earth.
I don't know. Just that made me chuckle a little bit.
Yeah. That went right by me. I didn't even catch it. Look at you.
you focus on the nakedness and I focus on the puns.
So, I focus on the nakedness. I am distracted by the oddity of all of the surroundings, including the nakedness, which, by the way, how about like he's asking like what's going on, and Ransom's like, listen, fine, I may as well just answer your question so you'll shut up and stop bothering me,
right?
You know, and he like super simplifies, like, okay, so they're obviously in space, they're in a spaceship. He gives a very basic explanation of how this works, that there's some less observed properties of solar radiation and they found a way to exploit them or utilize them, and that's how the spaceship is able to run. And he really kind of dumbs it down and says that they're on their way to Malacandra.
I was going to ask you, how are you going to pronounce this? Because that's what came to my mind was Malacandra, but I was like, maybe it's like Malacandra, but that's more of like a southern Malacandra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And they're not from the south, right?
No, they are not.
England.
Jolly good England, sir. Where they go to Malacandra.
Your accent is the worst.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, what did you think when you saw that, when you read that, like Malacandra?
I was thinking for a split second, to be honest, I was going, is Weston an alien? I don't know. Just the way it kept going on of he was saying, well, you know, you people call it this planet, but we know it as Malacandra. How do you know that? Based on the terrestrial life that lives there. And I'm like, are you part of the terrestrial life that live there?
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
How did, because that is a good question. Like, that was the other thing, too, that C.S. Lewis doesn't.
Maybe that's why he's so weird.
Exactly. You know? And with C.S. Lewis, I was thinking, okay, you know, Ransom's asking these good questions that never got answered. For example, how did you drag him onto the ship? And also, how were you able to take the ship and blast it off out of the Earth's atmosphere without anyone knowing and no one hearing this huge spaceship leave the planet? You know, that was something I was thinking about.
Well, and then Weston would just say, you wouldn't understand, so I'm not even going to answer it. That's just how C.S. Lewis is able to sidestep that whole issue.
Pish posh, sir.
I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
Oh, man.
So Malacandra is a planet within our solar system. It's not some kind of a distant star or a planet in some other solar system. It's a planet within our solar system. And apparently it takes them about a month, 28 days travel time to get there from Earth. So what's funny is that, you know, he's asking where are we going? What's going on? And it, like you said, you know, Ransom's pulling the whole, you know, no, we call it this because that's what the inhabitants call it. You know, and it's just real weird. It's a weird interchange, you know?
It was interesting because, you know, they're doing the 20 questions thing, going back and forth. And then Weston kind of gets really philosophical and deep with Ransom about, is a person's life worth sacrificing, or anything worth sacrificing for the advancement of that species? Or at least that's the way I was interpreting it. Am I reading that correctly, Gabe?
Yeah, you know, again, you said the 20 questions thing, and among those 20 questions, and this is like what we were talking about an episode or two ago, like, why do you need me? Like, what is my purpose in all of this? And Ransom's asking that. He's like, you know, what good am I to do you on this Malacandra? And first Weston has the reveal of it's not even their idea to have Ransom. Apparently they're obeying orders, right? Which is kind of mysterious.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, so they've been told to, and it obviously doesn't depend that it's Ransom, because they were going to bring old Airy, as you like to say.
Good old Airy.
That's right. So, So in this, that's when he starts to do this conversation, philosophical explanation that your life is just a key cog in the potential for this great endeavor, and if you really understood it, you would just gladly, willingly, you know, give of yourself because you could see the greater possibilities or how this would affect all of humanity, you know. And ultimately, the whole time he's talking, I'm thinking, like, you know, the Catholic teaching that it's never okay to do evil, that good may come of it, right? Like, that's just not okay. But Ransom is saying, no, 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 everything that we are doing is totally justified because there is this greater good that we see, this preservation of our species, or this potential for us to have greater ends, to be able to continue on in different places. And it's okay if we, you know, got to crack a few eggs to make this omelet, you know?
I like what Wesson says when he finally is getting into him to move and get out of his room, where he's just saying, I had thought no one could fail to inspire by the role you are being asked to play, that even a worm, if it could understand, would rise to the sacrifice. And for a split second, I went, whoa. And then immediately, I mean, of course, the sacrifice of time and liberty and some little risk. Don't misunderstand me.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what?
What's so funny is that it's Ransom that's being made to offer this sacrifice. Like, and I guess to a degree, Weston thinks he is as well, but it's not even close to the same degree. But Weston is totally like, you know, you should be like this. You should understand this, even a worm, right? That was ridiculous. And then Ransom's reply of like, this is crazy. I don't believe this. I don't believe all the stuff that you're saying. This is ridiculous. You know, what just so that we can like last a little bit longer. That's why it's okay to do whatever you want by any means necessary.
So Weston finally gets out of his room and he's trying to figure things out with gravity and moving around and all that stuff. And we kind of come to realize why they're not wearing clothes. So Gabe, why aren't they not wearing clothes?
Yeah. So as they go into the other room, light just pours out as soon as the doors open. And not only is it just this incredible, intense light, it's this unbelievable heat. And so this is kind of what you were saying in the last episode, too, in the last chapter, that it probably has something to do with the heat. And you were spot on. It's exactly that
boom.
There's such an they just want to get an all around tan. You
right.
know, they don't want any tan lines. They just want to get a full body. It's unbelievable heat. So he gives them some darkened glasses to kind of cope with the light. And then also advises him to, of course, strip down just like him to deal with the heat. It's just so it's intense. It's not like anything they've experienced before. And then how about the kind of weight that he's given?
Yeah.
To kind of keep his footing somewhat to deal with the weightlessness in space, you know?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was like, what the? But that makes sense because obviously you're in space, so you need something to keep you attached to the floor and not floating around. And now we also see that the ship isn't, and this is where I was a little bit mistaken or misunderstanding from the last chapter, the whole of the spaceship is spherical, which also goes back to my previous episode about do they understand the concept of globes. They obviously do because their spaceship is a globe, basically. And so, if I understand it correctly, all the stuff that they need is in the core, in the center,
yeah.
and the rooms yeah. and space and empty spaces where they can walk around are on the outside, or, you know, near the outside of the sphere.
Yeah. So there's a hollow core that they use for storage. So like a basement, but it's all the way around, of course, because it's a sphere, like you said, and that's their floor. And then their walls kind of protrude out from the floor towards the ceiling, which is the larger sphere, and they live in the in-between, right? In between these two spheres, the outer shell and the inner core, that's their living quarters or living space, which gives an explanation as to why it appeared that the walls – were kind of protruding outwards towards the ceiling because it's the shape of the sphere, you know.
Right.
That's how each room is kind of like its own wedge of this sphere, of this circle. and that's why it gives it such an odd shape. But also, it's why even though everything seems curved, when you get up to it, it's like, well, this is perpendicular. I thought it was curved. Well, yeah, it's because now you're on the same footing as that wall, you know, which, you know, you then walk into the next room and it's crazy because you look back and that wall that you just saw as a wall is almost parallel to the floor, you know?
Right. Well, and it makes sense because obviously mm-hmm. living on Earth, everything looks flat because of the sphere that we live on, mostly sphere. I know it's not perfectly spherical, mm-hmm. but the sphere that we live on is so large that we can't see the edges. So everything just looks flat. And unfortunately, why people even in 2019 believe a flat Earth. Anyways.
Jason, jump up and then jump down. Do you land in the same spot?
Yes.
Yeah, see, if the Earth was moving, you wouldn't do that. I like what Weston says here about how he's talking about how you can actually see kind of over the floor, the edge of the floor, and that kind of is what gives you that kind of just, I guess, the visual of it. But he says over what would be the horizon if you were a flea. So just to give mm-hmm. that perspective right. of, you know, a flea to this ship is like us to the Earth, and it would seem flat in that case. And, right. but because it's smaller and we're larger than a flea, obviously, you know, you can kind of see the curve more pronounced than you would obviously, like on Earth.
Yeah. And so obviously being knocked out for a long time, we don't quite know how long Ranson's been out, but he's been out enough to be in the middle of space. And so he's hungry and he goes ravenous on some yummy canned tin meat substance, a biscuit,
delicious
butter and coffee. I mean, breakfast at champions right there.
That's what I was going to say. That's right. That's right. So he's eating.
When's the last time you've eaten any like canned meat?
Oh man,
I don't think I've ever in my life had spam or anything subsequent. Not maybe tuna, but tuna's been years ago.
Really, you've not had tuna in that long?
I'm not a big tuna eater. No.
Wow, that's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
Tuna's like a big player for us, man, especially in Lent. Goodness. Wow.
Cheese.
Fancy Jason.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll go. I know how to do a meatless Friday. Thank you very much. Yeah.
You're like, I will never eat my meat from a can, sir. Vienna sausages, man.
Ugh. No.
I will tell you, potted meat is the worst, though. Oh, oof. It's the worst. And it sounds terrible, too. So I can't imagine that this tinned meat tastes any good. But you know, he's so hungry. It doesn't matter.
No.
He's just like tearing it down. He's totally eating this. And everything must feel so surreal though, right? That you're in space. You're on a spaceship. You've just been kidnapped. And now you're like, you stripped down. You're eating canned meat, tinned meat, drinking coffee. Wearing sunglasses, the sun is just beating down on you.
Well,
what is going on? It's just crazy.
Again,
you know?
Showing Weston's, in as C.S. Lewis puts, his contemptuousness when Ransom makes the comment of, I've always thought, you know, space would be dark and cold and, you know, and to be fair, like that's how we usually see it. Even today in movies, you know, it's really dark and voidless. And mm-hmm. Weston just quips, you know, what, you forgot about that big yellow thing called the sun out there?
Yeah.
It's like smart ass, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then Ransom's eating and he's just like, so man, if it's like this in the early morning.
Right.
Oh.
Wait, there is no morning.
There's no morning or night, it just is noon all the time.
It's like Alaska in summertime. The sun never sets.
Weston's just like, don't talk.
Yeah. Well, and then so then this also, I didn't even think about this until they said that, which was, don't talk because we don't have that much oxygen on this ship to waste with you talking and blabbing and making comments and questions all the time. And I went, oh, right. they probably need oxygen on this ship. Whoa. And they, I didn't think about that.
But C.S. Lewis did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also a really clever way to get Ransom to shut up.
Right, right.
You know?
It would me. I was like,
I would assume he cares about self-preservation as well. So, you know, he's probably going to try and calm down with that. Yeah. The ship does not carry oxygen enough for any unnecessary exertion. You know, not even for talking. So don't talk. Just shh. So, man, not a big long chapter, but you do get some good explanations here. You have a better understanding of where he's at, you know, the shape of the ship, where they're going, Malakandra. Where do you think Malakandra is?
So before I answer that question, I want to come back to two other things that left you hanging. And this can also be part of the prediction with what your prediction that you just threw me. One was just something that I also noticed is it's amazing how dumbed down, sadly, our English language has become in literature. Because reading C.S. Lewis, you know, this was written, what, 80 years ago? Mm-hmm. Just some of the words that he uses. And I was trying to find it quickly, and I should have underlined some of these words. But, I mean, just going back, you know, contemptuously, you don't hear
raving lunacy.
Yeah. Just there's so many beautiful words. And I'm always trying to pick them up in my lexicon and throw them out there, not to make myself look smart, but just to have them breathe life into our conversations again, instead of using the word literally or like, or, you know, it just drives me crazy. We have so many amazing. Anyways, that was just an observation that I saw in this chapter, in this very short chapter, but just beautiful words that.
No, you're right. And it's all through it. When he's telling him about the weight, be careful how you get up. Your weight here is hardly appreciable compared with your weight on Earth.
Yeah.
Just that the way that sentence is put together is not the way people now would speak.
So, okay. So going to predictions now. Your question of the planet, where do I think that is? Well, my first thought before that planet was, we're also not alone on this ship, because if I'm understanding this correctly, Weston is taking Ransom to go see someone on this ship to be able to answer some of his questions. So that means there's other people on this ship. Okay. So who is this person?
What do you mean Weston is taking Ransom to see someone? How did you get that?
I thought he said, where he says the part where it's like, come, there's really no use of continuing cross-examination. You keep on asking me questions I can't answer. I thought he said like there he was going to take him to someone to talk to.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I know that they're not following their own orders. They've been told to bring another person of some kind, or Weston's been told to bring another person.
Maybe I misread that. Doesn't matter. Anyways.
Yeah.
I think he's going to take him. I think Weston eventually, whether this person or my prediction is it's someone from Malakandra that is either on the ship or they're going to land on Malakandra, and Weston's going to take Ransom to a representative from the planet Malakandra. That's my prediction. That's going to be able to answer Ransom's questions. Now, where do I think Malakandra is? I wish I had underlined it. I know he mentioned, you know, we still have so many million miles to go before we get there. My thought, just because most space ventures during this time frame would probably be Mars. So my guess is somewhere near Mars, maybe just beyond Mars, or right around like the asteroid belt, where we can't really see it because maybe it's hidden between a bunch of asteroids or whatever. So that'd be my prediction, is somewhere in that range where it's got to be close enough to where someone can travel to that planet and also travel back to Earth, mm-hmm. and be able to do it round trip kind of thing. And I feel like anything beyond Mars would be too far. And also Mars, Melisandre, they both start with M. That's my guess.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good guess. I mean, it's a planet. And it has another name because when the name
I've got
of
a
Melisandre
one out of eight
revealed,
chance here. I mean, unless if you don't count Pluto as a planet, which I still old school. I count Pluto as a planet.
Actually,
so
it's
scientists
a planet again.
Can just
it got put back to being a planet
because scientists were wrong. Mm-hmm, yes,
mm-hmm. And because maybe they don't really know what they're talking about all the time. But you know, there's that. No, so yeah, I mean, it's got to be somewhere close. It's a planet that we must know because Ransom says, "I don't know of any planet called that," and he's like, "Well, that's just because I'm calling it by its." It's you know, the name that the inhabitants called, you know, and so it's a planet we must know. And then, like you said, it's close. So it's got to be, you know, I would think one of the planets that are closest to Earth. So I think Mars is a pretty solid guess. And then, yeah, the idea that, like, clearly you said you think that Weston's going to take Ransom to some person, some being on Melisandre. And again, I think that's. Yeah, I think that's pretty clear too. Just from, like, whose orders are you following? Then obviously, somebody wants somebody for something, you know. which that doesn't sound ominous at all. So my next question to you, though, is, you know, early on, I remember asking you. So when Ransom got knocked out,
yeah.
You know, what do you like when you come to? So now you're Ransom now in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking? You know, what is your plan here? Are you going to go along with it when Weston says, "All right, come, let's go meet this being"?
Right.
Are you okay? Yeah, let's go. I mean,
at this point, I would. I think, like Ransom said, it's like, well, you hold all the cards here. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Like, there is nothing I can do. And I'm all out of options. So my only option is to go with you and to cooperate and maybe see if something comes out of this. Let's play your hand and let's see what happens. Roll the dice.
Yeah, I don't think there's a choice. I mean, like, A, you don't know how the ship works. And even if you did, you don't know how to pilot it.
I don't even know where the controllers are.
Yeah, exactly. So how would you even get back home if you were to do anything to mm-hmm. Weston? And then once you get on this foreign planet, you don't know anybody. You don't know anything that's going on. And let's say, okay, somehow you do overcome Weston. Great. Now you're stuck on a planet, you know, like, Weston is your only chance to get back home. So I don't know. I guess you do have to kind of resign yourself to playing along for now. But I mean, right. You still, I think, are ever just, wary and cautious because you still don't know what's going on. Something out there has told Weston, bring me another one of you, you know, and that could be for any reason. And it clearly, again, like I said, it didn't matter who it was. They were going to bring Harry, you know, because Harry didn't matter. So that doesn't make me feel just warm and fuzzy, you know? So yeah, no, I think, I have to proceed, but it's definitely with caution.
Sure. And that's the final thought that I had, was just I would be clinging, like Ransom is, to the only thing that I can control, which is my mind and my ideology. And the individual is worth more, the dignity of me is worth more than the quote-unquote greater good of whatever that is. But mm-hmm. the problem is I don't know what that greater good is, because again, Weston won't tell me what it is. So why am I gonna, I'll go along with you because I have no choice. I'm a prisoner. I'm a slave to you. But you're not going to rob me of my dignity. Like, that's the only yeah. thing left that I have that I can yeah. control.
In the meantime, man, talk about a vitamin D overload, huh?
That just made me think of Sunny D.
Do you remember Sunny D? Like, I do remember Sunny D.
Yeah, so nasty.
I would say that he's definitely getting some Sunny D right now. He is. You know?
And he's got probably, like, he's probably got some sick shades too.
Oh man. Just, he's just looking all kinds of cool, you know?
I'm just like picturing like Men in Black Ray-Ban sunglasses right now.
There's no way. I'm picturing those, that roll out pair of glasses you get from the eye doctor when your eyes are dilated.
Or like Bret the Hitman Hart, like the wraparound.
Oh yeah.
Sunglasses.
Yeah. Man. So yeah, no, his headache goes away. He's feeling kind of good. He's like, I'm more alive than ever, kind of a thing. Like, I was like, yeah, I mean, and it's true though. When you get outside, it has a way of just getting in the sun, of just making you feel great. You know, mm-hmm. There's definitely a pick me up there, and he's just basking in it, you know? So, what an odd situation he's in. But yeah, we'll see what's next.
Well, I hope in the next chapter, again, I haven't read ahead. I don't know. But I hope this next chapter, we finally get to the planet and we, find out where we are and we get some action going. That's what I hope anyways. We'll see. All right, well, I think that should do it for this chapter, unless if there's anything else that you can think
of. No, I think we covered it pretty good. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Leave any comments down below, any predictions. No spoilers, please, if you've read this before, for the sake of me and other readers that are reading this for the first time.
Hey, don't be that guy.
Yeah, don't be that guy or gal. But yeah, let us know what y'all think. Leave us your feedback, 5 stars, all that good stuff. Also, feel free to share with your friends, you know, whether they've read it before and they want to reread it with us, or they've never read it. We're still early on, and as we've mentioned, these chapters are really short, so you can catch up real quick. And maybe you are listening to this months from now. Hi, welcome. Thanks for joining us. We love you. And you can find us on any podcast player. Just look for Reading Your Way to Heaven. The best way to get a hold of us is on our website, readingyourwaytoheaven.fireside.fm.
Love you, bye, Jason. Love you, bye, everybody.